Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. We are now into year number two officially after last week's very fun episode, which I think both of us enjoyed quite a bit.
Yes.
Out at Grains of Wrath. Thank you to Mike Hunziker and all the people out there at Grains who so nicely welcomed us in and allowed us to sit there for 2 hours talking and drinking beer and eating food and shooting the S and recording a podcast.
Yeah.
That might have been our second longest podcast after our Hood River combo podcast.
Oh, I didn't even notice that it was that long.
I think it was like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
Cool.
It was a long one.
Did you find the curse words?
I think so.
Okay.
I did have to spend time listening back to the entire interview because I didn't remember where exactly Mike cursed. He's the only one who's actually cursed in the podcast.
Twice.
Twice now. And the problem with this one is he did it kind of quiet. So I was listening, kind of, I was doing other things, but had it in one ear, like trying to like find him as I was working.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like talking, then he was like, F yeah. But like he said the F word. And I was like, wait, what? Did I miss it? And I had to like go back. And the interview was long. It was like 30-minute interview.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, come on. I'm doing other things here. I need to find these. So I think I found them all, but if I missed one, I apologize. Because he also sat in Beer of the Week, and I was like, did he curse in Beer of the Week? I don't even know.
You couldn't remember, so then you had to do Beer of the Week, too?
I did, yeah. So
sorry, buddy.
Hopefully we found him. Hopefully you didn't get offended by any curse words, you naive beer drinkers, you. But, yeah, so that is last week's episode. We had a lot of fun doing that, so hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to it. And like we said last week, if you haven't made it out to Grains of Wrath yet, go!
Go now.
That's a command. By the way,
oh, no.
Listen to me commanding you to go to Grains of Wrath. So on this week's episode, we're going to do a full dedicated episode to a topic that we didn't dedicate an episode to last year. And that is Oregon Brewers Festival, OBF 2019. And last year we both went, but we talked about it, but didn't do a podcast on it.
Right.
So this time we're actually going to dedicate the whole podcast to it. I didn't actually get a chance to go this year. So Patrick will be the man as he went on Saturday.
Yes.
And he will be able to discuss all the stuff that he had and kind of we can look back to last year and just talk about our experience in general with OBF. So we'll get to that in a second. You can find the podcast wherever you can find podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Radio.com, Stitcher, Omni, 1080thefan.com. And then our social medias, I'm at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter. Patrick's at PDiddy085 on Instagram. And the podcast is at Beers on Us on Instagram, where we have been posting fairly regularly, which I am very proud of us for both doing.
Yes, I am too.
I was very nervous that I was going to be really, really bad at it. And so far, I mean, I've had days where I've had beers that I wanted to take a picture of and forgot.
Yeah, that happens.
But I've been pretty good.
My personal Instagram page looks quite different now.
Really?
As there is really little to no beer being posted on that.
Because you're only posting it on the Beers on Us page.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of outdoor rafting pictures, and that's about it.
Yeah, I'm about to go on a trip, so you'll see a bunch of drunken debauchery most likely when I get back.
I'm going to Victoria, Canada next week.
That's right.
For the first time, and I'm only going there because my brother and sister-in-law went there on a cruise as one of the stops.
Mm-hmm.
And usually my wife's family and us, the six of us, do a trip once a year, maybe once every other year, just to go somewhere for a couple of days. One year they actually came here. We rented a house out at Cannon Beach and did it here. But my brother and sister-in-law said Victoria was so beautiful in the 1 or 2 days they were there, they wanted to go back.
Mm.
And we were like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, for us, that's easy. We're catching a flight up to Seattle, but just because it's easier and more convenient. But go up to Seattle. A little 45-minute puddle jumper.
Yeah.
Take a ferry across the sound, I guess, and then there you are.
That's going to be a long ferry.
It probably will be, but
bet you it's like 3 hours.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Look,
ferries are cool, though.
It's going to be a vacation. I'm assuming there's going to be beverages to be had on said ferry. It's a hope, but
you might want to pack some just in case.
Because I want to get the vacation started off right, you know?
Yeah, you might want to go to a shop in Seattle.
Go run to Ruben's real quick and just get some.
Pick up some beers. Yeah, you might want
to
do that.
Go to Fremont.
Just in case.
Well, we'll see the timing of it because, you know, we're all flying in from different places. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But anyway, that's where I'm going to be going next week. If I have any interesting beer up there, I will let you know. But let's talk about our week in beer before we get into OBF. And I know your week in beer included OBF, mm-hmm. so let's save that for the actual segment.
Sure.
But I'll start with mine and the picture that I put on the Beers on Us Instagram the other day. And I've been lucky. The last two of these I have been able to find without much issue. The only one I had issue with was the second one, which you provided to me. But Gigantic has been doing their Hellboy series. And the first one was like a maple syrup pancake stout, mm-hmm. which I thought was delightful.
Yep.
The second one was a chocolate mole stout, which is the one that you were able to find for me, which I could not find. That was really good. The third one was a wit, which I really enjoyed. And then number four came out, and I was at New Seasons, and there were two bottles left. And I went there, and I was like, hell yeah, I get to try this.
I'm glad you grabbed one, because I saw one and was like, I'll grab that later.
Well, I grabbed one and tried it, and it was called Indigo Blue Beer. Now, the bottle was dark enough that you couldn't see the color of the beer, but on the label, Indigo Blue Beer, and they kind of in the description basically say, you're drinking a blue beer here. And I was like, blue? Really?
Blue.
Like, is it, the label's blue, like, is, you're mm-hmm. talking about the label, and maybe you use indigo in it, which is the color blue, but, like, that's just a flavor or something?
Yeah.
No. I poured the beer into a glass, and as you can find on the picture on the Instagram page, it's blue.
It's blue.
It is blue. It's light blue, but it's blue. And I sat there looking at it going, I know I'm going to drink this. I'm sure I'm going to like it, but I'm a little bit unsettled by the color of this beer. It's kind of like a cool novelty. But the beer is actually good. It was just kind of
what kind of beer was it?
It didn't really describe it super well. It was just kind of a little citrusy, hoppy beer. Okay. I wouldn't necessarily say IPA. It might have been. It didn't feel super bitter. But
yeah.
There was like citra hops in there, and there was another hop that I forget what the label said. But it was a citrusy, hoppy beer. I mean, honestly, it was a clean, refreshing, citrusy beer. Very, very easy drinking. It was just blue. And I think that was the novelty of it is, here's an easy beer, but it's blue color.
Yeah.
Whereas all of them so far have been very interesting and very over the top in flavor. And this one was very simple in flavor, in my opinion, or very, I don't know, maybe not simple, but common.
Yeah.
But the color was what got you. So it was pretty cool. If you want to drink a blue beer and feel really weird and cool about yourself, then go ahead and get one of those if you can find it.
I might have to check that out. Can't say I've ever had a blue beer.
And it's definitely
green beer, but that's just like Bud Light with food coloring.
Yeah, exactly. I've had that too. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's rough.
But I think you'll like it because it's a flavor profile you'll probably just enjoy. Simple, okay. Citrusy.
Just close your eyes. Don't look at it.
Well, look at it.
Look at blue. It.
Be brave.
Be bold.
Be bold.
All right, I'll have to check
that out. That was my week in beer. I didn't do anything too crazy. I was in Vegas this past weekend. The beer scene there actually way better than I expected.
Nice.
In terms of places that we went. I mean, we actually stopped at the Budweiser beer deck because we were walking by it, and I was like, well, this could be either really bad or be fine because Anheuser-Busch owns a lot of breweries. So we went there. They had like 30 beers on tap, a couple of 10 barrels. They had a couple of Modern Times and stuff, a bunch of breweries that we are familiar with. I got a Joe IPA from 10 Barrel.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not drinking a Budweiser. Sorry. Yeah. Even though I'm at the Budweiser beer deck. I got a Joe IPA. Solid time. They had like Jenga on the table. It was a lot of fun. So that was kind of, you know, I had some other beers. I had, now I'm going to forget. I tried to get an Elysian Space Dust at the same bar I went to last year that got really drunk on Elysian Space Dust.
Yeah.
They were out of it though.
So
I can't remember what I got there. I'll try to remember what I got there. It was actually pretty good, but I only had one of them. But yeah, so I wasn't too much beer on my palate this week, and I had a lot of mixed Gatorade drinks that I pre-poured in the hotel room to not pay for alcohol.
There you go.
That was my weekend.
That's a smart move. Mine is a little all over the place. Let's see. There was a bunch of Pint House pizza beers in town from Austin, Texas. I know one of the...
Is that the place that the guy from here opened?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I remember you telling me there was a guy who opened a brewery down there, and then you also mentioned Pine House Pizza being a big name brewery, so I probably just combined the two stories.
Yeah, probably. So Pine House is a brewery in Austin, Texas. They're, you know, one of the more reputable craft breweries in the state of Texas. There was some stuff in town. There was some stuff at town at Bailey's on Thursday. I had something from them on Sunday at Tulip Shop Tavern. And obviously I did OBF on Saturday. I've been drinking some Mass Ascension IPA from Ex Novo, that I've seen a couple places around town. I've really kind of enjoyed that. The Pine House Pizza beers, they don't filter anything and they don't fine anything. So it comes out with a natural haze, but it tastes like hazy IPAs.
Oh, yeah. So they're hazy and hazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wasn't my jam.
Yeah.
They were all right. I could see why people would like them, though. It's always fun to drink Texas beer because we never get beer from the state of Texas.
Except for Shinerbach.
Shinerbach.
Which, by the way, you can say what you want because it's a pretty mass-produced beer. Now, I enjoy a good Shinerbach.
It's not a bad beer.
I enjoy a good Shinerbach.
It's not a bad beer.
It's one of the first craft beers that I tried before moving out here because my buddy's sister was in the Air Force and was stationed in Austin. And when he went down there, he discovered Shinerbach and brought home a bunch of Shinerbach.
Ah, gotcha.
And it was like, hey, Mike, you got to try this beer. And I was like, yep, I will. And I tried it and I was like, this is really good. I got to stop drinking Blue Moon and start drinking some Shinerbach. So yeah, I enjoy a good Shinerbach from now and then.
I think Pine House stems from Odell's in Fort Collins, Colorado.
What do you mean stems from?
I think that's where the dude who does Pine House used to be the dude at Odell.
Gotcha. Yeah. It is interesting.
A dude of some sort.
You know, we could do an episode on this at some point. It might take a little legwork, but we could do like brewery family trees.
The trees can get big.
Or like coaching trees in sports, right?
Yeah.
Like this guy opened this brewery and had a couple of apprentices under him or assistants under him, and then they went and opened this brewery, and then they opened this brewery.
Especially in this town. I mean, there's a lot of incest in this town.
Yeah. And I think that'd be kind of interesting just to kind of follow who has the biggest tree,
right,
whose tree died off quickly, not as like a ripping on them thing, just out of curiosity, and just kind of see what happened. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that would be fun.
So maybe down the road when we have way more time to commit to doing some research on that, we could do that. But that's just a little idea that popped up in my head. All right, so OBF 2019, I did not get a chance to go this year. Patrick was there on Saturday.
I was.
And last year we went together. It was my first experience going. And I enjoyed it because I got to try a lot of beer I wouldn't normally try, and I would have actually never heard of in the first place. Even breweries I had not heard of in the first place. But the only negative to me was it was really hot, which I guess it probably wasn't this Saturday, which is probably nice. I feel like last year was like 100 degrees when we were there. Really hot and sandy because you're out on the waterfront park there, and really crowded. So it was fun to drink all the beer, but standing in line constantly was not super fun.
Yeah, well then this year might have been your year because it wasn't very hot and it wasn't very busy.
Oh.
So, I mean,
you stood in lines, I'm imagining. But
they weren't that bad though. They really weren't.
I remember standing in a line for like 35 minutes last year.
Yeah, there was none of that this year.
Wow.
It definitely seemed lower attended. This was the first year that every beer there was a beer made in the state of Oregon. And I'd read some stuff that they did that to try to increase participation, I guess, or increase, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, the amount of people showing up. Sorry, I don't know why I'm brain dead right now. But and
increase attendance.
There you go. Attendance. Thank you. And I do not believe that worked. Attendance looked even a little low than a little smaller than last year. Maybe.
And you went on Saturday, which would be likely the most popular day to go.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was down there Saturday at like peak time and it was kind of quiet. There's no Sunday this year. So I don't know. If anything, you would think that would push people to go on Saturday, but they didn't. Yeah, so that was kind of strange that it didn't seem as busy.
Now, the thing that I really enjoyed from last year was actually trying the out-of-state beers, especially because a lot of the dark beers were out-of-state beers. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. So if I'd gone this year, I think I would have been disappointed not to get some other outsiders because, for me at least, I drink a lot of Oregon beer all the time, right? There are some breweries, obviously, I would have seen that I hadn't heard of before. Like, I think last year, Rusty Truck was one that I had never heard of before that I tried. They're a coast brewery. But generally, it was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, oh, here's all these breweries I drink all the time. And, oh, I've never had a New Holland beer before or whatever it was that I went to. I was like, let's go get that dark beer.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun.
This year, with it being all Oregon, if you want to dive into the beer segment of it, with it being all Oregon, there was, what's the best way to say this? Two, there's a lot of breweries I've never heard of.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, that's a good thing then. You get to experience some new places, right?
Sure. That being said, there's a lot of really bad beer.
Mm.
Yeah.
That you actually drank yourself too?
Yes, that I tried and was like, oh, this sounds cool. And I had it and I was like, that's not cool at all.
You did say that you had a little bit of a soapbox for this episode. I have a feeling this is where we're going, huh?
Yeah, kind of. I think this was a big swing and a miss on the All Oregon Brewery. And I think it goes to show kind of what I've been preaching a little bit, that sure, we've got a lot of beer breweries, but we don't have that much great beer. And maybe I'm just picky. Maybe I'm just the a-hole that it has high standards.
I think you're more picky than most, but I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I think that, like you said, you've said this on the podcast before, what, 10 to 15 great breweries?
Mm-hmm.
And I say most people would probably stretch that to like 25.
Yeah.
But you're, because you're extra picky.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's still a small percentage of the amount of breweries.
Right. So I had a lot of bad beer. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to just kind of be honest about that.
Which is, again, surprising, because if you're going to a festival like this, you'd like to put your best foot forward, especially if you're a smaller brewery that not a lot of people have heard of.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So that being said, though, what kind of made it easy was unfortunately, it was kind of trust your brewery. It was like, if you walk up, like I walked up and I saw an Upright beer, I saw a Frame beer, I saw a Sun River beer, and I was like, those are probably going to be okay. And sure enough, they were great beers. So it was kind of like, I would only dive into something from a brewery I didn't know if the style sounded great. Like I was excited to have it. And another part that I think really kind of was a big swing and a miss, here are the big name breweries on the south end. Okay. There's Boneyard, Double Mountain, Good Life, Laurelwood, Freem, Upright, McMinimins, Von Ebert, Oakshire, Ninkasi, Great Notion, Gigantic, Cascade, Breakside, Bowie, Ecliptic, Fort George, Sun River, Pelican.
All on the south side.
Zeugelhaus. All on the south end. These are the top breweries on the north end.
Looking.
Lucky Lab. Worthy, Stormbreaker, Hopworks, Barrelick Deschutes.
So the south side was loaded.
Migration.
And the north side was weird?
Yeah, I didn't understand it. It was like, let's put all of these really known, really popular breweries in one area and kind of put all these unknowns somewhere else. The north end had a bunch of stuff I'd never heard of.
So I wonder, thinking about that strategically, my question is this. Did they do that because they didn't want the lesser-known breweries to get outshined or outlined, if you will, by all the big-name breweries? So that if you go to the north end, it's like you're seeing all these breweries who are next to each other you haven't heard of, but you're at the north end, so you're at that little cart right there, and you want to go try that beer, versus all these brand-new breweries are next to, like, Sun River and Freem, and you're like, I'm not going to go to this random one. I'm going to go to Freem.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know how they decide if it's random or what, but if that's what they did, then I feel like if you're, you know, Barrelick on the north end, you're like, hey man, why didn't I get to sit at the cool kids table? You know what I mean?
Well, on the other side, on the flip side though, maybe people were like, hey, Barrelick's up here. Yeah. And everyone lined up at Barrelick.
Well, and it was a pink guava goza, and we'll get into styles here in a minute. But I will say this, when I was there on Saturday, the north end was more popular. The cider trailer was huge.
That makes sense.
Had lines like 15, 20 people deep.
That makes sense, though. I mean, think about
that's the amount. Everybody says to me, and I'm so confused by that.
Well, think about the amount of people who go to that with significant others who don't like beer. They like cider.
Yeah, right? That's true.
I mean, cider is really growing, and there's tons of numbers out there about how the cider seltzer market's cutting into the craft beer market. I mean, so you're just watching that grow.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to see it. And there are a couple of good, what are they, cideries that are in this city. So,
The theme of the year, there was two things I noticed that were pretty constant. There was a ton of Gozas. A ton of Gozas.
Interesting.
And
also disappointing, but interesting.
And a lot of mango and guava.
Well, last year, I remember you told me, because this we went basically right at the beginning of the podcast, like episode 2 or something was when we went. Mm-hmm. So I was still very, 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 very new to craft beer in this town in terms of really diving into it. And you were saying expect a lot of summer beers, expect a lot of light beers, expect a lot of fruit beers.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a ton of fruit beers last year.
Yeah.
A ton of fruit beers. I don't remember seeing a lot of Gozas. I think everything was like strawberry and rhubarb and mango and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So I'm not surprised to see mango, but Gozas,
Yeah, there's a ton of Gozas.
Does Goza count as a summer beer?
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to be light-bodied and have, you know, a touch of tartness. It's kind of taste the coriander, and it kind of makes it taste almost like squirt, if that makes sense, or like a Sprite with a you know, touch of tartness.
I haven't had a squirt in so long.
I had one the other day. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, they're delicious.
Yeah.
I used to have them in college.
Fountain from a gas station. I was like, ooh. I'm thirsty. That looks good. It was hot.
Lemon lime sodas are always more refreshing.
Yeah. Boneyard did a Goza. Stickman did a Goza. Ecliptic did a Goza. I know
Bearlick, good one you mentioned.
Bearlick did a Goza. I know there's more that I just... some brewery called Zisha, Xicha, they did a Goza. I'm sure there's more, and I don't want to do bad radio, but there was a lot of Goza. And then I saw a lot of like Immersion Mango Tango Blonde. And three mugs. It takes tea to mango honey ale. A lot of guava and honey. Sorry, not honey. Guava and mango.
I have started to see more honey and tea type beers for some reason.
Some of those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, this year there were I think three of them that I'm really really surprised that I was kind of looking at it and I was thinking to myself, Terminal Gravity, really? Why'd you do that? And that was. There were some milkshake IPAs.
Still. That was big last year. I noticed a ton of milkshake IPAs last year because that was kind of at the peak of that style. That and Brutes really kind of were at the OBF.
I think there was one Brute. It was Widmer's. Yeah. Widmer had a Brute and that was it. But yeah, I saw there's probably three or four milkshake IPAs.
Well, aren't there some breweries that solely do milkshake beers? Like, aren't there one or two that's like their thing?
Riverbend. But they're not here because they're on the scoots outs, most likely. But Full Sail, Malted Milkshake, Elkhorn, Fruity Pebbles Milkshake, Terminal Gravity, Hi, My Name Is Milkshake.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I guess maybe their thought process, I'm not going to pretend like I know, but just trying to be positive Patty over here. Maybe their thought process was, these beers are on the out, so let's bring them in because they're unique now. They're retro now, right?
Maybe.
It's like, because... I think for a lot of these breweries, you're thinking, what's going to make us stand out when we're next to 70 other breweries?
Good beer.
Right. But you also need to draw people to get in your line in the first place.
Yeah, I suppose.
And I think they're saying, okay, so milkshakes, there was like 20 milkshake beers last year. This year, there won't be any. Let's make one and stand out. Because if someone likes a milkshake beer, they're going to come try our brewery, right?
Yeah, we definitely saw that in the names of stuff, too. So, like, people definitely went out of their way to try to have kitschy kind of names.
Yeah, it's a sex appeal kind of thing.
Totally.
Very interesting. Well, I wonder what that means for next year. And on the podcast, if I have a chance next year, I'd like to go with you and we can go see what's up. I would love if they change their mind back to not doing Oregon-only breweries because I think it's a good way to expand your horizons because we all here drink Oregon beer all the time.
And I felt it mostly, and this is probably my bias kicking in, but I felt it mostly with Southwest Washington. I think those guys are making pretty good beer.
And they deserve to be
there. And I think they deserve to be there.
Yeah.
I think we are more their market than the state of Washington is. Sure, they've got their neighborhood. Sure, they've got Southwest Washington on lock. But I guarantee you what is distributed over here is being drank more in Oregon than in Washington. Like in Grains of Wrath, for example.
Yep.
We drink a lot of Grains of Wrath in this town. 5440, we drink a lot of 5440 in this town.
Everybody's
is a staple in this town. So I would love at least if it were Southwest Washington included.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's strange to me that that wouldn't be included. I get it. If you're saying Oregon only, that makes sense, but it feels like Oregon still, right?
Right. I agree.
I know Vancouver's Washington and people from Vancouver are proud of being from Washington, but it's still the Portland metro area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to me, that should be included. But yeah, I'm curious next year if anything changes with that, and also if, because my palate's not as picky as yours, if I would have enjoyed more of the beer than you did.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But I would have skipped all the Gozas because, well, I just don't like them very much.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. And I'm not hating on the Goza. I just noticed that that was the popular style, you know. And there were breweries that made Gozas that I was like, oh, I bet you that's pretty good. I just didn't jump on it.
So there's OBF 2019.
Well, I got one last
thing. Oh, okay.
I want to end on a positive note.
Final thoughts there from P. Harris.
There was something that I really, really enjoyed this year. So the trailers that they pour beer from are on the west side, correct?
Correct.
So you line up, the north end has the big tent over it, the south end is exposed.
Yes.
And they have an area covered with seats, and some of it's just in the blazing sun.
And there's water misters and
yes.
stuff like that.
What they did this year on the south end was they swapped it. So the south end trailers were on the east side with a few little awnings over it for the sun. And then on the west side, you sat at tables under the trees in natural shade.
Very smart.
That was a good move.
Because when you waited in line over there, the trees created that shade
exactly,
for you.
Exactly, so it wasn't too bad.
But then you went under the blazing tent to drink, and it was like, ugh!
Yeah, exactly.
Let me out of this death zone!
Yeah, so I bet you they saved money on renting tents in the first place, and I just like that concept a little better.
Yeah, I guess it just blocks the view of the river a little bit because all the trucks are in the way. But
yeah, but you know, there's giant buildings going up everywhere that's going to block the river anyway, so.
Well, not from that park.
I know, but just
look at you being anti-establishment over here.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Coming up next, we have our beer of the week. It is a brewery that neither of us have had.
What?
And
what?
I guarantee it.
Okay.
Unless you had it at OBF on Saturday. And it is a brewery that was sent to me from a listener. And I said, hey, I've never heard of that. How is that? And he gave me a little explanation of what it was. And that is the beer that is going to be beer of the week next.
Color me intrigued.
Here on Beers and Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Beer of the Week time here on Beers and Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. And I stayed very quiet because Patrick made fun of me last time for being terrible at teasing our Beer of the Week. But he mentioned this brewery during the segment, and in my head I was like, say something, say something, say something. And I was like, no, don't spoil it. You're really bad at these teases. Don't spoil it.
Hey,
so I said nothing. I was like, oh, interesting.
And I was quite surprised when you put it in front of me.
Yes. So this is a brewery that neither of us has had. I guaranteed it, right? You have not had this place.
Not had this brewery.
You mentioned it as a place that you had never heard of that made a Goza for the OBF, and you called it Zika because it's X-I-C-H-A. Now, on the side of the bottle, it tells you it's pronounced Chicha.
Chicha.
It is a West Salem brewery, and the reason I picked this beer, because I didn't know you were going to mention it as part of the OBF segment, is one of our listeners, Michael Burkhart, who's been doing this cool way of sending me the beers he's been drinking, is he goes out Belmont Station or wherever he gets his beer, and he takes a picture of all the cans and bottles he bought for the week. And this time he took the picture. This was late July, 7/21 is when he took the picture. So not late. It was like a week ago. It feels like a long time ago. It was about a week ago. And he had this beer that I actually picked on the list, and I was like, I haven't heard of this place. How are they? He goes, Chicha is a local brewery here in Salem that is ridiculously good Latin food. I've had their ales and Mexican lager, but neither of these. I enjoyed the amber, maybe a touch sweet for me. The Negra was warm, nutty, chocolatey, and light-bodied. Well, you know what sounds good to me is the Negra, which is what I picked. I found it in the cooler at John's Marketplace, so it's nice and cold for us to have.
Sweet.
And it is the Chicha Cerveza Negra Dark Lager. I'm very intrigued. And I'm also intrigued by the idea that it's a brewery that makes like Latin Mexican food versus just pub food, which is very exciting.
That's what I'm kind of getting reading the label. I was just kind of reading around the label and checking some stuff out, and it actually sounds really cool. First off, these are in 500ml bottles, which are great. I love 500ml bottles. They even look like the same bottles. They might even be the same bottles that Double Mountain uses. We brew ales and lagers that enhance the experience of Latin American style food and ingredients. Inspired by a traditional Munich Dunkel style, this lager is smooth and complex, but without being heady or heavy. The rich malt backbone promotes nutty flavors and smooth chocolate and caramel undertones. Chicha pairs this with tacos de puerco, and pork belly tacos. Ooh. So they even tell you what to pair this with.
Very smart.
So they're not messing around. Like, no. These are some people that might be like, what do you emphasize more, beer or food? And I don't think there's a wrong answer.
No.
If they're like, we emphasize food, it's like, that's cool. We emphasize beer, that's cool.
I kind of like that. They emphasize both together.
Well, yeah. I kind of like that they're just like, we're not beer, we're not food, we're both. Well, I think that's cool.
Take a sip. I'm not going to lie. This is one of the better Negras I've had in quite some time, because there's something about it that gives you that reminiscent flavor of a good, solid, dark Mexican beer, but it's 900 times deeper than that, right? I think a lot of the times when you get a Cerveza Negra, you get kind of the same beer, right? It's mm-hmm. a flavor. It's like a Negra Modelo, right? You get that, and if you get that from a craft brewery, usually it's a little bit better because they're using better ingredients or it's less mass-produced, but you're kind of tasting the same thing.
Yeah.
This is not giving me that at all. I see the influence, but they went and turned that upside down and said, we're going to make this a little bit of a darker beer with some of the influences of the Mexican dark lager.
Yeah, I mean, I love that on this it says inspired by a traditional Munich Dunkel style. I taste that in the malt. Without a doubt, it's caramely. And it also mentions that this rich malt backbone, it is very rich for a lager. It's been a while since I've had a lager that had kind of this much thickness in its body.
I'm glad that I chose this then, because I really wanted to go dark beer, because we've been doing a lot of light beers as our beer of the week. And I picked this because of the tweet and because of the kind of the, even you mentioning this. But I picked it because I was like, I want a dark beer, but I know this might be a little bit lighter, more approachable for Patrick. No, this is actually a pretty dark, heavy, dark lager.
It's a pretty heavy lager. I'm quite surprised at how heavy it is. But, I mean, its tasting notes are nailing it.
It is.
Definitely get some nutty character into there.
Chocolate is there for sure.
The chocolate's there, and the caramel is what's lingering with me the most.
And on the nose, you smell the sweet caramely malts as well. Mm-hmm. That's right what you get right away.
I'm hungry. I want food now.
You want a pork belly taco now?
I want pork belly tacos.
Well, let's go down to West Salem. That's another place, by the way, that we'll have to at some point go. We want to go to McMinnville. We want to go to Corvallis, Block 15. We want to go to Bend at some point. That might be a bit of a... That might have to be like a weekend trip because that's a lot of beer to have.
Yep.
And then Salem, they're popping up with all
there's
sorts
of
breweries
now. There's
a
bunch of stuff down there. Yeah, it'd be worth checking out, that's for sure.
And just from this bottle alone and this beer, I want to go to Chicha and for try sure. their food
Without
and try the rest of their beer.
Yep. They should do like a sampler tray of food that pairs with a sampler tray of beer.
Mm-hmm. That'd be the size of food that you would enjoy too.
Yeah.
Small little bites.
Yeah, baby. Of different stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
I'd get excited.
It's like tapas, but I would also be like, can I get a sample tray of food and beer and then also this on the side of real food, please? Like real size food, I mean, or big food because I'm a big guy. Man, this is really good. You're right. I do get a lot of that Dunkel influence. I kind of like that it's a merging of styles.
Yeah.
I like that you're kind of...
You nailed it. It's not just a dark Mexican lager.
Right.
It's got a lot more to it.
Do you agree that is, when you have a dark Mexican lager from no matter who you have it from, it's like to a T exactly what you expect?
Pretty much.
And this is not.
No, this is definitely its own kind of mamma jamma. And I love people that take traditional styles and evolve them and do something different with
them. I like that as long as they're doing it well. And to me, this is doing it well.
Yeah.
This is a quality beer. I've started to see these popping up more. I've seen the name popping up more. So I don't know if they just started to distribute further from Salem or if they're very new and it's just something that we haven't seen because, well, they haven't existed up to this point. But, if you live down at Salem, it says they're in West Salem. It doesn't have their address on here. It just says brewed and bottled West Salem, Oregon, 97304. So if you live over on the west side of town and you want to go see these guys, if you haven't gone yet, then let us know how the food is, how the other beer
please.
Is. And I saw a couple of other beers at John's from these guys. So if you're interested to go into a bottle shop, see if you can find one. And you can try this one, of course, because we're drinking it right now and we both enjoy it. But you can try any of the other styles and let us know what you think. Because I am now very intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
My interest is piqued.
Tickled.
P-I-Q-U-E-D.
Tickle me intrigued.
Piqued. Okay, so that's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Remember, you can find us everywhere, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 1080thefan.com, radio.com, Stitcher, Omni. And wherever you find us, if there's an option to do it, subscribe to us, give us a rating, give us a little review, if you would.
We like it.
We appreciate it. And then, yes, shoot us messages on social media. At MikeLynch27 on Twitter is me. Patrick's at PDD085 on Instagram. And now we are both contributing to the Beers on Us Instagram page, which is just at Beers on Us. Posting pictures of the beer we're having. Make sure we take a picture of this for the podcast. And you will see those up there. Interact with us on there and give us all sorts of juicy likes and comments because it makes our egos feel better.
I realized maybe it's perfect for the Beer of the Week segment. I forgot to tell you the best beer I had at OBF.
Oh.
I'll be real quick about it.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident that the one that I like the most. So Fort George did an oatmeal pale ale that tasted like their original oatmeal pale ale, which they haven't made in a very long time, which was really exciting. I enjoyed that. However, my favorite beer was Allegory. You mentioned McMinnville, and that's what popped in my head. Allegory did a hoppy lager using Strata. And I am dreaming of that beer now. Yeah, it was really, really, really nice.
And have you tried the Strata IPA from Worthy yet?
No, I still haven't had it. I never see it anywhere.
Go to an actual supermarket, dude.
I don't go to supermarkets. And Trader Joe's, all their beer is warm.
Then put it in a fridge.
Well, tell them that. I don't want to buy warm beer. You know how I feel about buying warm beer.
I know, but you own a fridge at home.
I understand that. Don't they? They're a supermarket.
You're so stubborn sometimes. All right, that's going to do it for us. When Patrick gets on something, there is no convincing him otherwise unless he is convinced otherwise by something.
Truth. Facts.
You cannot convince him. He has to be convinced himself by an action that happens in some other weird other dimension that changes his mind. Anyway, we're going to be back next week. We're going to be posting the podcast early next week because both of us are leaving town on Tuesday night / Wednesday morning. So expect the podcast on Tuesday afternoon next week. We will likely be doing another style. We might do the beer app episode as well. Those are a couple options that we're going to get to. We still have to do our Oregon City episode coming up. We haven't had a chance. We've both been busy on weekends. Yep. We got to find a weekend to be able to do that soon. But that'll be coming as well. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Traces.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.